Yeah. Okay, now let's go further. Okay, now he says v'lo yivoshu ami li'olam ve'elu hachonos hoyikarim heima masha amar v'yesatzfoni arichik me'aleichem shezeh yetzahara me'hamesis u'madiach la'odah me'achar Hashem. He's going back to something that we learned before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do things for us in the times of Mashiach that will prevent us from ever sinning again. V'asheni gam heim nivi ha-sheker asher hitu es ha'am gam heim yivutlu v'lo yinavu b'sheker. They will no longer give over false prophecy. K'mo shekasa b'zachariyah v'gam es ha-nivim es ha-ruach ha-tumma avir amin aretz. V'zehu sh'amar shlo yeh oid nivi ha-sheki eshbech es ruchi v'ti ha-shefa ha-nevui kol ha-chozak al am ha-shem ad shegam me'oiram yushbu'u gam ho'avodim ha-shvoches mish'oreh umos kamor. Okay, he's just saying in a nutshell, he's just saying over here is that his interpretation is that there will be an absence, an obliteration of the nivi'e sheker. How? The way Hashem will remove the Nevi HaSheker is not by destroying them, but just the opposite. By overwhelming them. By pouring out upon this world a spirit of true prophecy, automatically the people who are false prophets, they'll dry up. Or they'll be overwhelmed by the MS. They'll be exposed. Possibly some of them, yes, some of them, no. But until this point in time, there was limited true prophecy. But the false prophets, there were many. Because no one was stopping them. There was no one that had clarity, like we find today. There's very few people that have clarity, and therefore everyone is quiet. And who makes all the noise? The empty cans. Empty cans make a lot of noise. People who promote crazy things, tell you to do crazy things, they're the only ones you hear talking. And the people who are of reason, are normal, you don't hear from them. Why? Because there is no spirit of true prophecy, no spirit of kedusha for good. And the people, when you have dead meat, what happens when there's dead meat? It's a lot of bugs, a lot of mosquitoes, a lot of
people are just interested in novel. If anything's just normal, they don't want to hear it.
That's no good. That's no good.
Outside sources,
you know. So
everyone is prophesizing. Isn't that going to be a chaotic world? It is.
Why are we chaotic? If the prophecy is good. It's something which is true, which is comforting, which is MS, which is normal. Prophecy represents what's supposed to be, not craziness, not nonsense. So this time there's going to be a spirit of Kedusha. The spirit of Kedusha will basically silence and drown out all of the Nevi'ei Sheker. That's how he learned Pshat this pasuk. Even on the Avadim, you cannot even fool a slave. In ancient times, the first people to latch on to the Nevi'ei HaSheker are the spiritually weak. The people who have no safeguards. So they right away, they're the first victims of falling prey to the Nevi'ei Sheker. The tzaddikim, the righteous people, they right away sense there's something that's wrong and they stay away. And they try to convince their friends and family, stay away from these people, they're leading you the wrong way. But the people that do not have a strong background, the people that are on the lowest rung of society, they're always the first people which fall prey to the evil side. In the times of Mashiach, there's going to be such an intense degree of spirituality, no one is going to become a victim of the Nevi'ei Habal, even the lowest rung of society. That's why he emphasizes, on those days, I'm going to pour out my spirit even on the Avodim and the Shvachas. According to the Mincha Gedolah, it's a little bit more understandable why everyone else does not focus on the Nevi'ei Sheker. All the commentaries that we learned, all Rashi, Mitzudas, everything we learned until now, they're not focusing on the Nevi'ei Sheker. They're focusing on the greatness of what's going to be in the times of Mashiach. So why bother mentioning Avodim, Shvachas, prophecy? What's this all about? Doesn't make any sense. Why are we mentioning it over here? But according to the Mincha Gedolah, there is some satisfaction why the Pasuk mentions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pour out his spirit of prophecy upon slaves, because these people are the lowest rung of society, and Klal Yisrael have suffered enormously throughout their history from the Nevi'ei Sheker. You learn Sefer Yechezkel, Sefer Yirmiyah, Yeshaya, over and over again, no end to it. Nevi'e Habal, Nevi'e Sheker, prophets are using the koichos of tumah to convince people to do averos. And the first ones to suffer and to fall for this type of stuff are the lowest rung of society. So now it's very satisfying is, this is not going to happen again. No more will there be such a thing, because it says in the previous pasuk, ki v'kerev yisholoni v'ani Hashem, v'lo yevoyishu ami li'oilam, Hashem is going to set up a new society in times of Mashiach where my nation will never be embarrassed forever. They'll never come to be led astray after the Nevi'e Habal. Why? Because I'm going to pour out my spirit of prophecy, and even the lowest rung of society is not going to be nimshach after the Nevi'e Habal, because that's how intent it's going to be. It gives some satisfaction when you want to say that the focus of these psukim is the eradication and the removal of the Nevi'e Ha Sheker. Okay, now we go to next. Now let's go. Now let's, before we do Michda, we'll leave the Michda for later. The next part, let's just do this. Let's just do a few Mamari Chazal. There's a few Mamari Chazal. Let's go back to page 245. On page 245 on the bottom, Likute Shas Umidroshe Hatanoim. V'lo Yevayishu Amilio. I'm sorry. Albeis. V'hoyachachain. Okay, jump down. Third wide line. The third wide line, page 245. On the very, very bottom, Lukutei Hashas and Midrashim HaTanoim, Aleph Beis, V'hoi Achachei Neshbeches Ruchyash Al Kol Bosor, V'nibu B'nech B'vrosechem, Shloisha Kitiyim Heim. There are three different groups who see prophecy. Who are the three groups? Yesh Mehem Roim B'choloim, V'yesh Mehem Roim B'chozoin, V'yesh Mehem Roim B'mareh. Okay, this is unlike almost everything that we have learned. Okay, we always come back and mention these concepts. So we mentioned the Medrash that says there are 10 different terms that Chazal use in reference to prophecy. Over here, most of the commentators say there are only two. We're only focusing on the two major terms. And what are they? Chaloim and Amare. A dream? What? They learn that Chazoin is synonymous. We've learned, most in Farshim here have learned that the word Chazon and Mare are one and the same. And the proof to it, what's the proof? The proof is Moshe Rabbeinu. When Hashem criticizes Aaron and Miriam for speaking Lashon Hara, Hashem says, Loi Kein Avdi Moshe Hu. We had the pasuk before, Loi Kein Avdi Moshe. The pasuk says that a regular Navi, Hashem says that Moshe Aaron, they see Hashem through a dream, but Moshe utmunas Hashem yabit. Hashem says they see Hashem ponim el ponim. Let me see if I can find the pasuk we learned yesterday. Going back up in the Mincha Gedol, he quoted the pasuk from Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's see if I can find it here quickly. By Moshe Rabbeinu. Here it is. Okay, Bamara Elov Esvadov. You want to look at the page 246 in the Mincha Gedola on the left column, three lines down. Hashem says to Moshe, Hashem says about Moshe, Bamara Elov Esvadov, Bachaloim Adaber Boy. Right? So these two things. It says Hashem criticizes Aaron and Miriam. How dare you say Lashon Hara on Moshe Rabbeinu? He's a prophet, he's the Avo of Nevi'im. And Bamare, in a vision, a love to him es vado, bachaloim adaber boy. So here in this pasuk, there are two words, a mare and a chaloim. And from here, the Minhag Gedol derive, and these are the two primary forms of prophecy. Although in Chazal, the Medrash says there are 10 terms used in reference to prophecy, all of those 10 are derivatives of these two. The other 8 are derivatives of a mare and a chaloi. Now the problem then is, what about this pasuk? Because in this pasuk it says, the bachu reichem chez yoinois yiru. They see visions. So the Mincha Gedol and other mafarshim previously said the same thing, is that the word chizoyoin is basically exactly the same as the word mare. They are 100% interchangeable, and there are only two different madrigos of prophecy. The Medrash is not saying that. The Medrash clearly disagrees. The Medrash says you want to break down Nevuah into its the Ovois and the Tolados, the main prophecy and the subcategories of prophecy. There is three. There is a Chaloim, there is a Chizoyoin, and there is a Mare. What's the difference? Who knows? But these are the three different major categories. What? Yeah. Achalom is when you're sleeping. Achizayoyin is when you're awake. When you're awake. But even when you're awake, there are two different types. There's something called the chizayoyin and something called the mara.
It's a vision.
Yeah, right. Trance.
Trance.
A conscious state. So therefore, there are three different madrigals. Now, where do you see in this passage the word the mara, the word yiru? It says here, it says the chaloimois, yachaloim, and that's clearly the chaloim. And then it says the chezioinois, and then it used the term yiru. So yiru alludes to this thing that we're calling, that the chazal are calling a mara. So that's what it says. There are two different groups, yeshmehem royim b'chaloim, the yeshmehem royim b'chazoin, the yeshem royim b'mara. And now, when the pasuk over here says, even when it says gam, so the word gam is coming to be married, even animals. Even animals will merit to have prophecy. Now, does that mean to say, what does that mean? This is something you never heard before. Obviously, be awesome. Right? This is an incredible thing. Whoever heard of such a thing before? What? Whoever heard of such a thing before to say that an animal, the word gam is l'rabbi, that's not called, even animals will merit to be prophets.
So,
it's a sense. It's not prophecy.
And where does he get that from?
The word gam.
Avos
to Rabbi Nosson. This is a very interesting sefer. Avos Rabbi Nosson is like Pirkei Avos.
Similar.
An elaboration. So elaboration appears a fascinating thing. Avos to Rabbi Nosson is a fascinating collection of a Mamar Chazal. Even Art Scroll took it. They polished the whole book, a whole sefer, translating it and elaborating it. Footnotes on Avos to Rabbi Nosson. It's similar to Pirkei Avos, but not exactly the same thing. And that's what it says here. It says the word Vagam is coming to Rabbi Sakol, an incredible insight that even animals will merit in times of Mashiach to have prophecy. Never heard this before.
There's a
what?
There's a
what do you mean the future?
Yeah.
Not now. Of course not now. So what does that mean exactly? To say that they sense danger, that's not prophecy. That's a sense. Every creature, Hashem gave them...
Talk?
What?
Taking a talk?
No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says Hashem will put into their minds insights concerning the future or concerning...
How they relate to human
beings. I guess by their behavior. We all find, even today, we find all these stories about animals. They do these very bizarre things. They save people. They help people. They do all these things.
We're sensing danger, as you
said. No, that's a sense. See, today we know that animals...
So
a heightened sense of awareness. Animals, but that's not prophecy. That's teva. That's nature. Animals are able to detect different frequencies. There are different events. They have senses that man does not have. But that's science.
We don't have a difficulty in saying that the wolf and the lamb are going to lie down together. So why is this difficult?
Why?
Same.
Because you know why? Because prophecy is an allegory to itself. To say that the wolf and the lamb are going to lie down together. That can be, you know, you can train them. If you have a good trainer, if you have someone who knows how to train animals, so you go to the circus, they have elephants do these very strange things. They have tigers and all these things. So you it's not impossible through the laws of science to have the wolf and the lamb live together in peace. That can be done. Prophecy is an allegory to itself. Prophecy is a communication with the Baruch. How could it possibly be the prophets? Animals, what does that mean? Who ever heard such a thing before? Prophecy, this is what it says, Avos Rabbeinu Nosson. And now he ties this over here. Now, I don't know if there's a connection. He's tying it over here with three different terms. There is chaloim, a vision. There is a chizoyoin. And there is a re'iyah. Now, does this mean to say, he's trying to say, is that when it comes upon... It comes up, there are the different categories of creatures over here in this pasuk. We have mankind, the eshboy chesruchal kol basar, the nibu b'neichem b'vnoseichem, and then it says, al avodim v'al ashvachis. So does that mean to say that each of these three terms relates to a different category of basar. Your children, b'neichem uvenoseichem, make believe is a chaloyim, I'm just making up terms, and the avodim and the shvachos is going to be the chizoyoin, and the animals will be the mare, or whatever. You'll have to interchange the terms to match. Is that what he's trying to say? I don't know. That's not really clear what he's trying to say over here. Because he begins by telling us there are three different levels, and then he begins by telling us there are all different types of creatures, and it would appear that the different levels of creatures correspond, the different levels of creatures correspond to the b'neichem uvnoseichem, and then there are the slaves, and then there are the animals. But the truth is, there's another category which we left out, and that's the zikenechem. So are the zikenechem, your elders, including your children? I don't know. I really don't know what this means, but it's interesting at least to hear this idea that I've never, ever heard before, such a thing that an animal will experience prophecy. Based upon a drasha, this pasuk over here, v'gam. V'gam is coming to the marbe, even the animals. Okay, now let's now go to the next pasuk. I can't wait to hear what Rav Hochul is going to tell us about this pasuk.
Yeah, except that you're skipping the other medrash.
Which other medrash? I skipped.
Oh, okay, good. Go ahead.
I skipped. What did I skip?
The one. Drasha had Tanoim.
Yeah.
I thought you were going there.
Where I did page 245.
248.
248. Oh, you're right. I didn't realize. I'm sorry. You're right. I didn't realize. Okay, let's go further. Okay, it's very short. Just one pasuk. I'm sorry. Just one little line. V'nasati mevsim b'shemayim v'aretz don v'eish v'sim asosham v'mevsim elu hamakos. The most of the makos and the sati mevsim b'shemayim v'aretz don v'eish v'sim asosham. Okay, so this is what we say in the Haggadah. We really should elaborate upon this, and if I have some time, maybe I'll go back to open up some Haggadahs, but lean that there and try to see what the deeper meaning of this over here is. So we have to do my homework. In the meantime, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk, and maybe lean that will come back to this if I'm able to find something. Pasuk Dalet. Hashemesh Yehofech L'choshech. This is what's going to occur. The sun will turn to darkness, Vayerech L'dom, and the moon to blood. Lifnei boy yoim Hashem Hagadol v'hanayra. Okay, let's maybe read one more pasuk. Let's go to the end of the parak. Okay, totally pasuk. V'haya kol asher yikra b'shem Hashem yimolate. In those days, only those that call out in the name of Hashem will escape, will survive. Ki b'har tzion uvirushalayim tiyeh pleita, and har tzion and Yerushalayim will be escape. Kasha omer Hashem. As Hashem said, Uvasuridim Asher Hashem Karei, and among the survivors. The word Siridim is a translation of the Mitsudo Sioin. On 251, it means the She'eris, the remnants. Among this poetic repetition, and among the survivors to whom Hashem calls out. Notice over here, there's a conversation. It says those that call out to Hashem and those to whom Hashem calls. There's going to be some type of communication. Everyone knows the famous verse that when you daven to Hashem, when you daven, you speak to Hashem. When you learn Torah, Hashem speaks to you. Okay, that there's a communication. The Lubavitcher Rebbe is famous for saying this. There's a dialogue. Davening, you speak to Hashem. Learning, Hashem is speaking to you. A dialogue back and forth is Ashkocha Prat, it's many Gedolei Yisrael. When you come to Esther Mishael, it's very interesting. We come to Esther, those who really, I don't know if they have even today's people like this, but they used to, people that come would speak to them, they ask them questions, dilemmas in their life, what they should do. They would derive the answer of what they should do from what they were learning that day. They felt that it was Hashkocha Prat, today I'm learning the Sugya, this Sugya, in whatever they were learning. And later someone comes to them and asks them, I have a dilemma in my life. What should I do? Hashem told the Talmud Chacham what to do. The fact that he learned today this sugya, and that this sugya he was mafalpan and learning, and he came up with their different ideas percolated in his mind. Those ideas that percolated in his mind is basically Hashem's communication to this person. Then when someone needs his help, the answer is right there. It's right there. It's based upon what he studied today. He knows what he needs to do, what he personally needs to do, and if someone seeks his assistance, he knows what to tell them. Because when you learn Torah, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating with you. Hashem is speaking to you. Here you find that dialogue here in the times of Mashiach. Who will survive? The ones that will survive are people that dive into Hashem, kol asher yikra b'shem Hashem yu'alait. And then it goes on to say the ones that will survive will also be only the ones to whom uvasiridim asher Hashem koire, to the one to whom Hashem calls out. The people that are oisek in Torah and tefillah are those who are going to merit to survive in the difficult times of Yemois HaMashiach. The Chevle, you need both. Torah is only as good as your tefillah. And your tefillah is only as potent, will only be potent based upon the amelus of your learning. You cannot separate Torah from tefillah. It's unfortunate, sometimes, you know, we find very often there are certain people. There are certain people that are very big Talmidei Chachamim. Very big Talmidei Chachamim. When you watch them daven and you observe their hanhagas of davening, it's lacking. They're not nizer to come on time to davening. They talk during davening. And these people, they publish incredible svarim. They're tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. They're world-renowned experts. But yet, you watch them daven, you're not impressed at all. And there are certain people, they have a koyach of davening. There's no question about it. There are people in this world who know what it means to daven. But they're not known to be the biggest Talmidei Chachamim. They say Tehillim, and the people come for them to be mispal for them. But in learning, they're not, okay, Baruch Hashem, they know how to learn, but they're nothing spectacular. It's very, very rare to find that an Adam Sholem has both. Very, very rare. One of a kind. What? Those people are one of a kind because those people they have the complete communication. You don't have such a person. It's very, very, very weird to come across such a person. They say Rav Moshe Feinstein was like this. Rav Moshe Feinstein was a sholem in Torah and Tzvila. He had tremendous koyach Tzvila. Those who watched him daven were overwhelmed, very, very taken by his koyach Tzvila. And Rav Moshe Feinstein was the posek hador. There's no one that came to him in learning. Very, very rare combination. And to find such people like that, you know, the one in a million. One in a million. Yeah. And that's what this pasuk we're saying is the times of Mashiach to survive, the chevle leda, you need the communication. A two-way communication. Torah, Hashem, you call to Hashem, and Hashem calls to you. Let's take a look at these two psukim in the Mitzudos. First, we start with pasuk Dalid, the Mitzudos David, on page 248, Ramach Evarim. Okay, 248. How many columns are in the Sefer Torah, Rabbi? How many have to know the street? 200, well, it used to be 245. The average Sefer Torah you have in your Urn HaKodesh has 245 columns. Today, there's a new style, a new trend. They're now writing Sefer Torah with 248 columns. All the Sefer now are transitioning. Why? Because it's easier to write and it's easier to read. I don't know how this happened. Someone came up with a new standard, a new layout, which fulfills all of... What? Yes, of course. The Vavehu Amudim, of course it has that. Somehow someone was able, I don't know how this caught on, you know, today it's an amazing thing that it caught on. What? What do you mean smaller size? Same size. It's just less words. There are a few less words on a column. It's especially in Chumash Bereishis. Most of the changes are in Chumash Bereishis. Chumash Bereishis was a little bit tight. It was a little bit too tight. I think it's mostly in Chumash Bereishis. It's a bit too tight. So it's now the trend 248. And what's the problem? The problem is the Balei Kriya are going out of their minds. Because the Balei Kriya are being brainwashed. Having rainwashed, the Tzur Sadaf is 245. You give them a brand new Sefer Torah. You expect it's like the Tikkun Koirin, right? That's been the standard for the last 30, 40 years.
They don't have heads.
What? This is not like the Tikkun, and it's a new Sefer Torah. Impossible.
Adjust.
What?
They can't make adjustments.
It's very hard. That's right. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. So they have to produce. They're going to do it very soon. They're going to very soon. It's going to happen. I'm waiting eagerly for the new tikkun to come out. The 248 tikkun. Okay, 248. It's 45 and 48.
How they do this?
Is that amazing? Is that funny? Is that funny?
How they do this when
No, it's amazing. No. The one who made the 245 was is Davidovich. Davidovich.
What did they do before Davidovich? Right?
It was the Wild West. Before Davidovich, he was a very famous cipher. He died last year. He was a very chashva cipher, a very, very big Talmud Chacham, and his life was devoted to Safras. And he, going back more than 50 years ago, more even, he has a very, very powerful influence in the world of Safras, and he had major influence on all of the Seferim, how the Sefer Torah should be standardized. Before him, Sefer Torah... No, the old Sefer Torah, they are not like this. The old Sefer Torah, there's no rhyme and reason. It was the Wild West. It was the wild. Every cipher did whatever they wanted to do.
Especially what? In Europe, when they brought it from Europe.
Whatever they wanted to do, and a lot of the old Sefer Torah, in fact, are very, very tall. Very, very long columns. There are numbers. There were certain standards, but there were many. And every community, the cipher from various, like little shtetl, had their minhagim. They copied from other Sefer Torah. They didn't have in those days photocopies. Today, a cipher, you go into the cipher store, and they give you, you buy photocopy, you buy special guides. And on the guide, it shows you exactly where every word is. And it shows you, it has a number on the side, and then you should know how much space you should, in your mind, should leave in between the words, so it should be perfectly justified. Not just showing you where the words are, you have to also know, there's a science. Everything is down to a science, computerized, and you don't know today does the sirtut. You don't go with the extra lines. It's all done for you. You go by the klaf, everything is done for you. For Oz Yashir, they have a special klaf. For this, Shiras Hazinu, no one does this themselves today. It's done in a factory by special instruments, special tools. Just like you buy the ritzuos, no one makes their own ritzuos today. You go and you buy, there's certain companies who make the ritzuos. It's big bottom. Everything today is a commercial business, and it's been standardized, which is very, very good. Having an industry standard is a very good thing. And the one who really got the credit for the standard was this in the Talmud Chacham, I've got his first name, Davidovich. He's also right. Now, the problem is later years, he's right. In Chaim Berlin, they have a Sefer Torah that he wrote. He wrote this Sefer Torah. You got to see it. You never see something like this. It's just interesting. It's different. It's not what you used to seeing. It's I can't even describe it. First, it's small, and you know they only started writing small recently. Years ago, no one wrote small. It's a little bit smaller than the original Torah, and it's Kielu, a computer wrote it. It's scary. How could a person could write like this? Every single letter is exactly the same. It's not even normal. It's very, very interesting, the Sefer Torah. He wrote it, and he standardized that everything should be, and also he was mechadesh chidushim and how letters should appear. He interpreted the Mishnah Berurah in certain ways. Today, I don't know how this happened, but there's been a transition to, I guess with computers, to make it a little bit different. To make it 248, and it appears many soifrim today have accepted the new standard, and they write 248, which is like Ramach, right? Ramach
Evarim. Talk about it in the world.
A lot. You'd be surprised. 80? What?
They're not too many.
There are a lot. There are plenty. More than 80. I'm sorry to tell you, hundreds. Hundreds. In areas of Israel, there are a lot of cipher. A lot of cipher. That's right. There are a lot of cipher who write cipher. There are a lot of who write tefillin mezuzos, but there are plenty.
So Rabbi, since it is already a different minhag to have different looking letters, could be written in script would be kosher.
What? In script? What do you mean?
Right.
No. Ksava Shuris is very, very strict.
Not each one. Letter is in each one. different
standards. No, the letter, no, the different standards is where the letters appear on the page. No. There are two basic ksavim, ksav Ashuris and ksav Vilash. Vilash is a Sephardic ksav. Ksav Ashuris is an Ashkenazi ksav. In ksav Ashuris, there are slight variations. There is the Beis Yosef, which is most of us, and there's ksav Ari. Nusach Sfar, some people who Nusach Sfar, they have ksav Ari. And even those of Ksav Ari, there are certain variations of Ksav Ari where they follow Beis Yosef. There are variations. But no, the rules of how a letter has to appear are very, very, very strict. The only difference is where on the page are the letters. Where does the column and how many words on a column? But the word and most columns begin with a vav. The vav ha'amudim. They're different in hardim. We have in hardim. A lot of these things are not in ma'akev. But the psuchos and the stumos. That's not for now. Let's go back. There's one point over here. Every time it's 248, it always strikes me because it used to be 245. Now it's 248. Let's see over here. The mitzvahs and psuchos on page 248. There's David pasuk dalit. The hafech l'choshech, the sun is going to turn into darkness. Oh, it's very late, we have to stop reading right there. The sun will turn into darkness. It'll turn dark. L'dam, the moon will turn into blood. Yehavich l'mar adam ki oz lo toyer ki darukov hu inyin melitza, just a metaphor, ki kish adam, but sara ho'ilam choshech, when a person is in a sara, the world is dark. Lifnei b'yom Hashem kol zeyel lifnei ha'geula v'samach lo. All of this will happen before the geula. Ha'gadol ha'noira ki oz yirei ha'gedulas memshalta v'masav ha'noiram. At that point in time, the world will come to recognize Hashem's deeds. Pasuk hey kol ha'shayikum b'shem Hashem yimolid v'tzad ha'lemak b'nei yisrael ha'koyim b'shem Hashem heima yimoltu min ha'tzaris ha'bos ala umayitz. And in times of Mashiach, Klal Yisrael will survive. But not the Umar Yisraelim, because Klal Yisrael, they call to Hashem. Next page, the Mitzudos. Where is the Mitzudos? On page 251. 251 on the very, very bottom, on the right side. Ki b'har tzion, it's a lema, ki ha-pleite tia b'har tzion, levad ki mo shevtech Hashem, v'gam shom loy l'kulam, ki rak, those who call Hashem may sin by bitchanai. Now notice, he is learning not like what I told you. And not that I'm wrong, there are different perushim. I didn't say what I said from someone else. We'll see in the moment, we'll see from the Lord in the Farshim. We'll see in the Farshim. I told you that the end of the pasuk, in order that it should not be repetitious, is Asher Hashem Korei. Now I translated that the one to whom Hashem calls. Who is the subject? Hashem. Hashem is calling. The Mitzudos does not say this. That's incorrect. We'll see the Rishonim in a few moments. He says the same thing. To the one, the subject is the person. Asher, the person. Hashem, Korei, the person calls to Hashem. Now that is a repetition. Repetitious. Because exactly what it says in the beginning of the pasuk, V'hoyo kol Asher yikra b'shem Hashem. All those to whom any individual who calls out the name of Hashem. And according to the Mitzudos, the pasuk is repeating itself exactly the same. Uva seridim asher, asher, the person, Hashem korei, the one, the person who calls out to Hashem. Okay, so this is the Mitzudos. Let's just see Rashi. Rashi, pasuk, gimel, pasuk, dal, yafich, l'choshech, l'vayesh, es ha-mishtachim, l'chamo. Fascinating. Why is the sun going to turn dark? Because people worship the sun. And in order to put the people who worship the sun to shame, Hashem is going to do a mishpat on their gods. This is what we had this is what it says in Yetzias Mitzrayim, V'chol Elohei Mitzrayim, E'eseh Shifotim. But Hashem, the Chazal says, Hashem didn't destroy the sun and the moon at that point in time because people are foolish, doesn't mean Hashem has to destroy his world. So there's a limit to how far Hashem goes in judging the gods. Hashem doesn't have to destroy the world. But in the Yemos HaMashiach, would you believe this? Hashem will bring upon the Shemesh darkness in order to lishboit the V'chol Elohei Mitzrayim Eheseh Shefatim, even the sun. If the sun is a deity, I'm going to destroy the sun. The sun's going to turn black. In order to embarrass the people who worship the sun. Ad kadei kach. But Hashem's going to, in the process, destroy his world. Chazal say, you're not allowed to do that. Hashem can't do that. All right? We don't know what this means. We don't know.
Eclipse?
What? Well, that's what the Mitzvah, that's what the Rechum HaSanach always, the Rechum HaSanach says is from our perception. It does not mean that the sun actually is diminished. It means from our perception, the heavenly bodies line up and it appears dark, but nothing really changes in the sun. Rashi seems to say more literally, you get a flavor.
It's going
to
disappear.
We don't know what this is.
Don't he say the heat, the Shemesh is going to go for the Tzadikim, but he...
It says also that it's going to be seven times what it is now. Okay, we don't know. Let's just finish with the Rashi. Yikasher Amar. Vehechon Amar. Where did it say this? The role called Amiris Kishem Hashem Nikro Lechon. This is a very rare thing because not very often do you have a pasuk quoting another pasuk. That's unique. It happens every so often, but it's not expected. You don't expect a pasuk to quote another pasuk. Well, that's what it's doing. It says over here in the pasuk, V'haya, Kol HaShayikah B'Shem HaShem Yimali, Ki V'Hart Tziyoin, well, we had it before somewhere else. Alright, V'haya Kol HaShayikah, wait, it says Kasher, no, Kasher Omar, it says, what is it, Kasher Omar? Ki, it says here, it says in the pasuk, it does say, Ki V'Hart Tziyoin V'Shlam Tiyel L'Fleito, Kasher Omar HaShem, like HaShem said elsewhere. Okay,
so
what?
It's a paraphrase.
HaShem, what?
What are you saying? It's a
pasuk always says independent ideas. One pasuk rarely relies upon what another pasuk says. You don't quote, pasukim rarely quote other pasukim. In this pasuk it says it's going to be, Yimolet, ki bahar tziyon yivushlan tia pleito, kasher omar Hashem. Like Hashem said. Excuse me, where did Hashem say? Where did Hashem say this? Quote me chapter and verse. So he Rashi. So obviously, this opens up. Everyone will tell you a different pasuk, and in fact, Rashi, what he says is not the Pshushal Mikra. V'hechon Amar v'rohu kol ame haaretz ki shem Hashem Nikro lecha. That's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says that in the times of Mashiach there will be survivors. This has nothing to do with the goyim. So when it says here, Kasha Omar Hashem, according to the simple translation of the pasuk, we're referring to the survivors. We're now referring to the perception of the Goyim in regard to Klal Yisrael. So Rashi says, no, when it says Kasha Omar, it's not going on this pasuk. It's going back on the entire perek, where the Umayis Ha'olim are going to recognize Kol Basar. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all Basar, and they're going to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does it say that? Oh, that's a whole different pasuk. V'rohu kol ame ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecha v'yodu mineka. That's not what it says in this pasuk. That's what it says in the perek, in the total perek. So when you say the word Kasha Amar, you quote yourself, and if you have to find the pasuk where Hashem said it, you have to first know what you're trying to bring a proof to. And that is obviously going to be subject to debate. And Rashi is taking sides here by telling us that the Kasha Omar is not referring specifically to what it says in this pasuk, but it's referring to what it says in the theme, what the general theme of the entire parak. And if we come on to the pasuk, Baruch Kol Amos Kishem Hashem Yikru Lecha. Okay, let's one more Rashi. Be'uvah Saridim, U'b'sheiris Asher Yosir, the remnants, Asher Hashem Karei, L'shoin Kiruim, La Su'uda, those that are called to the meal. Oil Avoida Samelech L'shoin Hazmona. Rashi disagrees with the Mitzudois. Rashi is the translation that I gave you to those who Hashem invites. It's not really what I told you either. I told you more of a Jewish. But I told you, with the Pshat, the Jewish, the common denominator is that the subject is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is doing the calling. The only ones that are going to survive are the people who Hashem designates. Hashem specifies you will be a survivor. You are going to be l'shoin the guests. Kum l'suda olasas hamelech la'avodas hamelech l'shoin hazmana. Those that are invited, they will be the ones who are going to be handpicked to survive Yemos HaMashiach. You have to be handpicked by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem will call out to you and say to you, I want you to survive. And you also have to be one, in the beginning of the pasuk, who calls out to Hashem. Like we explained, there was a communication between the two. I will continue tomorrow. It's Hashem.